anders, als du glaubst.
Welcome to a new episode of the podcast Anders als du glaubst. My guest today is Professor Elitzur Bar-Asher Siegel from Hebrew University in Jerusalem. I always find I like it more when you say a bit about yourself and not what I read about you. So how would you introduce yourself when you meet people?
In general, I'm a professor of Hebrew language and linguistics at the Hebrew University. I'm currently the chair of the Hebrew language department. In the past, I was the head of the Language, Logic, and Cognition Center at the Hebrew University. So I do both Hebrew language, historical Hebrew, the history of Semitic languages in general. And on the other hand, I am a formal semanticist. I do theoretical linguistics in a very rigid way.
Yeah,
I guess I'm not invited to speak here.
Like to hear more about that, but that's not the topic of our talk now. We met last week here in Bonn, and you were there with a group of people. What was the reason that you came to Bonn, and also what did you do here? Let's start a bit informally. So, what have you experienced here?
Yeah. So I came with a group of students that is part of a student organization that is called Middle Mitz. We will probably speak about it more. But part of it is, the idea is that students, Palestinian and Israeli students and international students meet together. And we were invited, and what we do, some of the meetings are online, but we believe in the physical meetings. So we are actually meeting with students all from all over the world, and we were invited by the faculty of Protestant theology at Bonn University, and they hosted our international meeting, which consisted of students from Hebrew University, Tel Aviv University, University of Notre Dame from the US, and students from Bonn.
Yeah, you said you believe in personal encounter. Why do you think, what is the additional value of when you meet in person and not in Zoom?
Zoom, I mean, there are advantages to Zoom. I can speak about it actually, but I think at the end of the day, when you spend 72 hours together, it's a different level of encounter. Actually, on Friday last week, we had one of the most difficult conversations I ever had in the conflict, like a real conversation, mm-hmm. which was really like a moment that we all felt sad and frustration towards each other. And afterwards, we went to have dinner together at a restaurant in the middle of the city of Cologne. And this is the best way to remind ourselves that we are all people, and regardless of all, despite all the difficulties and all the disagreement and frustration and hostility, at the end of the day, we all have to decide whether we like Vienna schnitzel or not, and the schnitzel is not necessary. And the split is not necessarily according to nations, but according to personal taste.
And maybe that's a good transition to talk about the organization that you were here. So can you tell a bit the history? So how did Middle Meets come into being? What was the goal to start this?
Yeah, so Middle Meets started around December 2023, so we're talking a few months after October 7th, in a hackathon that students actually that called the day after. We were naive by then, believing that the end of the war is coming soon, and the thought was, okay, what should we, how the civil society should be prepared for the day after? And there were many, many parts of it, but part of it was actually the humanities, and the question is how the humanities is relevant. And this was the beginning of what we thought like a crisis, both in the universities in Israel and around the world surrounding the events of October 7th, and the sense that there is a different type of hostility, an academic hostility, and that it's almost impossible to talk to each other anymore. And the thought was, okay, this is...
And also people were... It had an impact. So I think when you... Probably one cannot imagine that when you live in Israel, everybody, it had an impact on almost everybody who lives there. No?
So I would say, on October 7th, I was a professor at the University of Chicago, the Department of Linguistics there. And I knew that I'm coming back to Israel. And on the one hand, I had demonstrations against Israel all day in the campus. And on the other hand, Jewish students protesting pro-Israel. And there was some sense of like, guys, our people like should actually fight, have real fights. People are dying. And what are you, like, this is almost ridiculous the way you talk about the situation. Like, why can't you just like talk and have a learning about it? And on the other hand, I knew that I'm going back to Israel. The semester will start around December, January, because the beginning of the year was postponed. And I thought to myself, how the hell we're going to do it? Because half of the students will be soldiers coming back from the war, and half of the students will be Palestinians, but their brothers and sisters are dying in Gaza. And these people are supposed to sit together. And also, there started to be issues that Arab students were arrested for expressing their thoughts about the war. So all of this together boiled to the sense, to a deep sense, that we have a crisis within the academia, that the academia lost its way. And instead of being a place where conversation is held, where everything can be discussed, it's almost a place that nothing can be talked. And we thought, okay, so how can we solve this problem?
How could you solve it? So what were the thoughts? So what is necessary to do? And what did you do?
So the main idea is very simple, which is, let's do it. Let's use the tool of the academia in order to heal the academia. So basically, we're doing something very simple. We're talking and we're learning. And the idea is to not avoid the conversation. Often there is this idea, there is a thought that it's like when there is a war, let's not talk. And we say the opposite. This is the time to talk. This is the time to actually have the most sincere and serious conversations. And let's discuss together what's going on. And let's do it in an academic way. So if people are blaming each other for committing genocide, let's have a conversation about what is genocide. If people are talking about like resistance, violent resistance, whether it's legitimate or not, let's have a discussion about the questions of the limits of resistance. Or if we're talking about the fact that national trauma are not discussed, like the Holocaust or the Nakba, let's have a sincere conversation about it. Let's have a conversation about what is a national trauma, what is a personal trauma, what's the differences between them. And since this is an international problem, we thought that it also should be dealt at the international level. And this is why in the conversation from the beginning, we had students from all over the world. So we had from Germany, we had from Spain, we had from different universities in the States. And the idea is that we are all part of an academic and universal international community. And therefore we must have this conversation together as an international community.
Yes, and the goal of this conversation is not to find unity or to find solutions. But so you said on Thursday when you were in Bonn that you learn to fight and to we have differences and they are there and you cannot harmonize the differences.
So actually, when I was in your house of prayer, I was so I on the one hand it was the house of one, and I was wondering exactly what it means. But at the end, but actually, when you read the verses from the Bible,
actually Leviticus 19,
one of the verses that you read was, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart; you shall surely rebuke your fellow." And the idea is actually that friendship is about rebuking. Friendship is about arguing. Friendship is not about just hugging. The other way around. If you want to, the next verse is the after the Recha Kamocha, and love your fellow like yourself. So the idea is that if you want to love your friend, you must fight, you must argue, and that's what we're doing. We're actually most of the time arguing in a very harsh way, and saying the most difficult things to each other. And what I'm amazed is how quick we can go to those type of conversation. We don't have to wait. Like in Bonn, after already in the first conversation, we had very severe questions with each other about it. When the first discussion was about the limits, the moral limits of war and the moral justification of war. And these were serious arguments, and the way we do it is in an academic way. So we start with an article about Vietnam, the Vietnam War, and we discussed moral question about the Vietnam War, and then we apply them to what Hamas did on October 7th and what Israel did afterwards in the war. And this is so the idea is that this is what we usually do in academia. We generalize things, which we try to understand the topic as they are in a conceptual level. And that's what allows us to actually have the conversation, to have the terminology, to have the conversation in our specific case. So when we start when we talk about genocide, we don't start right away whether Israel committed genocide in Gaza or whether Hamas committed genocide on October 7th, we start with a question about Rwanda, and we ask whether genocide is even the right term or whether this is the right framework that we want to have a discussion, because it's a very legal conversation instead of a moral conversation. And then we apply it to our own cases, and I think... And that's basically what we're supposed to do in the universities. This is the methodology of the university. So this is what we're doing. And so these are not easy conversation. And we're not, at the end of the day, we're not signing an agreement. Or I think on Friday, I ask everyone at the end of the day to summarize in one sentence what are the feeling or the emotion that they're living the conversation with. And most of them were sadness, depression, tiredness, exhaustion, fear. And right after, they went to dinner together.
Yeah. How do you manage the fact that on the one hand side, this is objective conversations in an academic style, but everybody is personally involved. So you have your emotions when you talk about genocide or the other things that are in the, so it's different from analyzing some texts, which is where you can more easily have a distance. So is this also a methodological thing to how can you cope with your emotions when you talk about a text that suddenly has an impact?
No, we are people. This is how we are. We have both things, and this is what we do.
Yeah, we let us stand. We let the difference.
I think mostly, if you ask me, I keep saying it all the time. You know, people are telling the students, "Oh, you are courageous that you talk, and this is amazing." And basically, what I'm saying to them, you know, it's really funny. You're just normal. This is what people do. People are supposed to be able to talk, And yeah. I don't know, when you talk with your, I don't know, when I talk with my wife and with my kids, am I 100% rational or 100% emotion? I don't know. It's both. How people are all the time. So why should we even think about it too much? This is, I mean, what we do on the methodological level, we do try to keep somehow, so we give space for the personal element. So we started it actually with people sharing with the game in the park about the role of the history of the family in our moral decision. And we actually started by a game, like his parents have secrets. And then all the people that their parents have secrets went to one side, and all those people that I don't have. And then we started sharing secrets. So we do start with a personal level. This is part of the methodology.
And
then we shift to the more intellectual one. But this is, I mean, I don't think we have to give a deep account for how we shift from one to another. We just do it because this is what people do.
And I have the experience. So when I talk with my colleagues, I work in a Christian, Muslim, Jewish setting. After October 7th, so on October 26th, we started actually this Room of One project. It was planned before, and then October 7th happened, and we were after it. And then I talked with my colleague about, let's do something together. Let's produce an impulse, a text, which we bring in together. And she said, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's write against hate. And I said, it's not about hate. It's not about at all about hate. We don't hate Palestinians. It's about existence. So I explained the reason why Israel came to being and why is it important for me. And then she said, oh, that's interesting. That's a completely different narrative. And then I said, yeah, but what's your narrative? And then she said, well, that's colonialism. And I said, that's actually, I understand her. You can see it that way. It's not how I see it, but you can. And we talked, I think it was 4 days. Huh? So we ended in, I think she ended in, oh, you have a very weird view of God. And I said, I haven't mentioned God at all. So how do you come to that? So let's continue the talk. What is now this? And we needed a lot of time to first exchange. So what do you think? What do I think? And it was a lot. Oh, I didn't know that you can view it that way too. No? So, and it was time for us and trust.
I think also another issue that we discussed on Thursday when we were in your house of prayer. So one of the questions that we are asked all the time is people actually say, are you optimistic? And whether you think, or say that what we're doing is giving hope. And I say we have to be realistic that, as a matter of fact, we are very few people in the room. I mean, overall, until now, we had maybe 250 students participating, and this is really a drop of water in the ocean. And I think when we think about it, we actually have to. So I think what we're doing is a different type of. Well, I'll tell you what leads me now. I think we are now in a very painful and very sad moment in the history of the world. And looking at the leadership in Israel, in the U.S., many countries in Europe, it's very hard to be optimistic. And I'm not sure that we're heading also like looking at the leadership in the Palestinian. I don't see, as Palestinians, I don't see a leadership that will raise and will lead for peace now. This is not what we're seeing. Those moments are in the past. And I don't think that the fact that 20 students that are well-funded going to Europe for trips will be the solution. But being in this situation, in order to be, to have the possibility to dream for another future, we need to have this island of sanity. We need to have this island in which we behave in a normal way, in the way that people are supposed to behave. And this is what we're doing.
This is what everybody can do in every place to create this island of sanity in wherever you are.
Yeah.
Who funds the project? Where's the funding coming from?
Yeah, so most of the the funding is coming from three resources. Most of the money comes from the university themselves. So all the universities pay for example, the last trip, all the university paid for the tickets of the students. We have individuals who support us, but without without any request, so it's under no condition. Like we get only money that this is, and foundations in the same way. Only foundation that have zero restriction on the way we use the money, But still, most of the money comes from the universities, which I'm happy.
And with that, you travel to places to meet in person.
Exactly.
And it's places outside of Israel?
So we do, the Palestinian and the Israeli students meet in Israel, but the internationals, with the international students, we meet only in the U.S.
Yeah.
So first, it lets us live in a normal way, which we need. We need, it's like when you have a pain in your muscles, the best solution is to walk. Because if you behave normally, then the body finds itself. So I think we need it as an air for ourselves, and also to keep those moments for the future, to keep those moments, something in the future might, people, when things will change, there will be enough foundation to build on them normal life. So this is what we're doing, and this is the goal of this initiative. To have these islands of normal, because at the end of the day, we're doing something very simple. We're talking. And that's what we're doing.
Yes.
And it's sad that it's not, that it's unique, but.
Yeah. I think that's a good final word in a way. Thank you for this talk and thank you for the project.
Thank you so much.
Dies war ein Podcast des Forums für Komparative Theologie. Das Forum ist ein Projekt der Universitäten Bonn und Paderborn und wird gefördert vom Ministerium für Kultur und Wissenschaft des Landes Nordrhein-Westfalen. Alle Podcasts und weitere Informationen finden Sie unter www.komparative-theologie.de.